Can't Bear to Part by Asenor, read by Miss Yunriski. Summary: Tianlangjun, it turns out, is not particularly discerning about anything besides politics. "Oh, did she?" he says casually, when Liu Qingge explains exactly what happened to both his fiancé and the dowry. "That's all right. I wasn't very interested in the goods anyway. Well, except for the books I asked for. You all in the human world have the most interesting reading material." Liu Qingge ends up accidentally engaged to Tianlangjun. "Well," the young bride says as the hill behind her bursts into flames, hidden explosives lighting one after the other in a string of massive thundering booms. "I tried to warn you."
"What part was a warning?"
Liu Qingge snaps, Cheng Luan deflecting flaming shards of rock and wood from his face as the shrieking lizard by his waist finally collapses to the ground, venom hissing as it splatters the earth.
"You hired me yourself to guard the wedding train."
"Obviously, I needed someone who wouldn't get killed when I detoured through the fire geysers," she says patiently, undoing her earrings casually, as if more lava salamanders aren't racing towards them and the flaming carriage. "Master Liu was the only choice. Here, catch." Liu Qingge instinctively snatches the throne jewellery out of the air, no choice but to clutch it in one hand as the creatures begin to attack. These ones, each as high as his shoulder, oval jaws and lolling tongues lurching towards him in a pincer attack.
"Stay back!"
he yells at his unscrupulous employer. But when he turns his head to check on her, she's already gone. By the time that Liu Qingge has battled his way through the lava salamanders and to the remnants of the wedding caravan, little remains beside the crackling cinders of what was once a sumptuous carriage. When he kicks his booted foot, protected by his strong chi, through the embers, nothing but the red-hot metal fixings reveal itself. The dowry, supposedly packed in trunks resistant to all forms of damage, is long gone. And not, he suspects, to the flames. With an irate huff, he kicks over one of the remaining spindly carriage posts, the charcoal smudging onto his white boots. There's nothing else. The supposed shortcut that his employer insisted on resulted in quite a few broken wheels on the other carriages, enough that they'd left their entourage behind at her urging for haste. With nothing else to do, Liu Qingge makes to step on Cheng Luan and survey the area for any sign of the missing bride. But before he can, a galloping sound echoes across the smoking rocks, as of a large beast approaching. Taking Cheng Luan in hand, Liu Qingge turns towards the smoky hills. But what appears out of the fog is not a single beast, but a rider upon one. No, two riders, upon two steeds, and behind them, an eerily silent contingent of foot-borne demons decked out in ornate jewellery and equally ornate weaponry. "My dearest," the lead rider calls, dismounting from his scaled horse while it's still galloping and swinging from its side to land on the hot earth in a run. Liu Qingge takes a step back, eyes widening as the man rushes to his side, hair swinging and robes swirling, his mount arcing off to the side. "Are you unharmed? What a terrible accident! We were waiting for you at the crossroads when we heard the explosions."
"My lord, the carriage,"
the other rider says, eyes darting back and forth between the man, the tall man, taller than Liu Qingge and handsome, and the flaming remnants of the bridal carriage.
"The carriage is of no import."
the man says, shaking his head. His long, inky black hair flows around him like ribbons as he attempts to take Liu Qingge by the arm, nearly losing a hand for it.
"Who are you?"
Liu Qingge snaps, brows drawn tightly together. "Dearest," the man says, hand still outstretched despite the threat of Chen Wan, mouth curving into a smile. "I'm your betrothed." Tian Lengjun, it turns out, is not particularly discerning about anything besides politics.
"Oh, did she?"
he says casually, when Liu Qingge explains exactly what happened to both his fiancée and the dowry. "That's all right. I wasn't very interested in the goods anyway. Well, except for the books I asked for. You all in the human world have the most interesting reading material."
"You could check for them,"
Liu Qingge says dryly, jerking his chin at the carriage, now reduced to quietly smouldering embers. He accepts a wet cloth from one of the well-decorated servants, scrubbing at the grey patina that clings to his face. The lukewarm water is a welcome refreshment after the hours of dry heat in the geyser area. "Ha ha," Tian Lengjun says, face brightening. "My betrothed has a sense of humour."
"I'm not her,"
Liu Qingge says bluntly. He's not quite sure what part of the story could have confused this demon lord, or whether there's simply something wrong with him.
"Oh, that's fine," Tian Lengjun says cheerfully. "It doesn't matter for the treaty. I just have to marry a human, and you have all the requisite parts. We can do it right now and get it out of the way if you want."
"There's something wrong with him." Liu Qingge doesn't dignify that with a response. He simply scoffs, finishes wiping his face, and levers himself back to his feet. Summoning Cheng Luan, he steps on it in preparation to take off.
"Wait," Tian Lengjun says, holding out a warning hand. "You can't leave me."
Liu Qingge throws him an incredulous look, and, without another word, he flies away on Cheng Luan. Or he attempts to. As he begins to put distance between them, a sudden, sickening, twisting feeling begins to develop in his gut. As Cheng Luan's speed slows, his knees become weak, agony pulsing through his limbs. Barely a few seconds out, he lets out a cry of anguish, and his spiritual energy flickers and sputters, causing Cheng Luan to drop out from under his feet, sending them both falling towards the pools of lava below. Before he can hit the oppressively hot molten rock, something slams into him. When he catches his breath, he finds himself cradled in someone's arms, perched on a shelf of rock above the lava. It's Tian Lengjun, long embroidered robes heavy under Liu Qingge's hand where it clutches at his chest. His long hair slinks against Liu Qingge's other hand where it digs into the cloth of his belt. His face, very handsome, is much too close. He's looking at Liu Qingge with something that could be concern.
"Don't you have the betrothal tokens?" he says worriedly. "You know that the charm will backfire if you try to leave me."
"What charm?"
Liu Qingge demands, heart racing. The pain has subsided, but the memory of how fast it came on makes his blood crawl.
"What tokens?"
"The earrings," Tian Lengjun says, glancing up and down Liu Qingge's body as if he's trying to see through the fabric.
"Don't you have them on you?"
Liu Qingge, flushing, shoves Tian Lengjun away from himself and drops to his feet, backing up a few steps. He fishes in his chest pocket, withdrawing the two earrings that the former bride flung at him.
"These?" he demands, thrusting them forward. "I don't want them. Take them."
"I can't," Tianlong Jun says, hands up. "It would invalidate the treaty. Why did you take them if you didn't want them? They can only be transferred willingly."
"I don't care," Liu Tinga says tightly, shaking the earrings in his hand once more. "Take them, or I throw them in the lava."
"That would make them rather hard to retrieve," Tianlong Jun says hesitantly. "But it wouldn't undo the charm. Only marriage will..."
"I don't want to hear it,"
Liu Tinga snaps, throwing the earrings to the ground. They flash prettily in the light of the lava, and he aims a quick heel kick at them, powerful enough to reduce the surrounding rock to rubble. They look just as charming sitting unharmed at the bottom of a gravel pit. Liu Qingge jumps back onto Cheng Luan and gets as far as the other side of the rock geysers before the reeling dizziness and massive pain incapacitates him. When Tianlong Jun catches up to him, he supports him to his feet with an arm on his elbow, to Liu Qingge's immense annoyance.
"Come on," Tianlong Jun says, turning Liu Qingge back towards the little gathering of demons, invisible in the distance through the smoke. "Let's go back, and then we can figure out a solution together."
Tianlong Jun's solution, it turns out, is just that they get married.
"No!"
Liu Qingge snaps for the dozenth time as the snake-like man stretches a cord around his chest.
"And stop measuring me!"
"I'll have the robes ready within 2 days," Zhu Jilang's soft voice confirms, looking at Tianlong Jun as Liu Qingge bats him away. "Will my lord be needing anything else? The wedding wine?" Tianlong Jun says with a frown, turning to Liu Qingge. "I prepared some varieties, but I'm not entirely sure what humans like to drink. Do you like spicy flavor? Or blood?"
"I'm not marrying you,"
Liu Qingge grits out, casually shoving away an attendant with a comb hard enough that they bounce off the wall when they attempt to touch his hair.
"Make them stop!"
"The charm is getting stronger, isn't it?"
Tianlong Jun says, taking Liu Qingge's chin in his hand and turning his head from side to side, frowning in concentration at Liu Qingge's face as it lightly dusts pink. "You can barely be apart from me, can you?"
"Get off of me!"
Liu Qingge snaps, pushing Tianlong Jun away half-heartedly. The vague discomfort returns as soon as Tianlong Jun's hand leaves his skin. He scowls in affront.
"I don't need this."
"Okay, then why not just do it for me and for peace between the realms, all right?"
Tianlong Jun says easily, slinging his arm over Liu Qingge's shoulders.
"Marriage isn't so bad, you know."
It's very strange to have someone taller than him leaning on him. Liu Qingge glances at him askance, even as the unsettled feeling in him disappears at the contact.
"You're so pretty. I can't believe you're not already married. You look strong, too. Can you fight? Do you know any poetry?"
"Can I fight?"
Liu Qingge repeats back, incredulous. As soon as he can stand to walk away from this demon, he'll fight his way right back out past all the hair-fixing and fashion-designing attendants that dare to keep him here.
"That sounds like a yes,"
Tianlong Jun says, eyes crinkling in a smile. "But a no on the poetry?"
"This eyeshadow will be perfect for his complexion,"
a servant says, forcing Liu Qingge to throw an ornamental pillow at him. The day of the wedding dawns bright, and bright. The sun in the demon realm drives through the cloth tent awning like it's soaring through wood. Liu Qingge already has a headache, and the attendants haven't even started trying to put jewellery on him yet. These robes aren't going to last a minute in battle, he opines, as the intricate sash is delicately fastened about his waist, the light silks beneath it barely covering the lines of his chest from sight. He's itchy and uncomfortable, this far from the man he's cursed to marry. He glares at the snake-like man who's sitting at a desk, tongue ever so often flicking out in concentration. When no response is forthcoming, he kicks at his chair.
You! Are you sure that this marriage will dispel the curse?
It's just a simple charm, the demon says, looking pleadingly up at Liu Qingge. It seems to be more uncomfortable for humans, but it's just supposed to create a connection between the two affianced. It's not a curse. Liu Qingge has a few choice curses to express, but he sets his mouth in a line instead and stares out at the sun-baked fields. It's quite hot. The ceremony is scant hours away, and he's already sweating through the light robes they've put him in. He's caught between wishing for death to smite him before this farce can begin, and for winter to blow through and put an end to this accursed heat. As the attendants begin to pin dangling, shining ornaments in his hair, more and more carefully after he repeatedly shakes them out, one of his wishes is slowly answered. The temperature begins to drop, first to a more manageable heat, then to a temperate warmth, and then low enough that the snake man shivers, looking around slowly lethargic. What? Jujilang says, eyes widening, and with a sudden crack, the entire pavilion ices over. A black portal tears through the desert air, a dozen demons come stumbling out, ice spreading from their feet. The leader, tall with a fur-lined cloak and a sneer, bares his teeth at Jujilang and freezes him and the attendants in place with a clench of his fist. Liu Qingge watches in interest as the attendants struggle, shocked looks on their made-up faces. Jujilang thrashes to one side and then to the other, flinging himself within his bonds so violently that it looks like he's stretching past the limits of his spine. No, he is stretching out, growing larger and larger, armoured scales breaking out on his face in different areas, like a rash as his jaw opens, lengthening teeth glinting in the bright light of the desert.
Grab the human and go,
the leader shouts, and two of the demons run to Liu Qingge's side to seize his arms. Liu Qingge instinctively almost skewers them with Cheng Luan, before a sudden thought gives him pause. He recalls his sword and bemusedly lets them grab him. When they begin sprinting him away, a small smirk pulls at his mouth at the lack of accompanying weakness.
Get him through the portal,
the leader yells. And Liu Qingge lets himself be pulled through the black rift, the rest of the group of invaders leaping through the portal as it slams closed just in front of Jujilang's massive, distended, slicing jaws. Watch out! He's doing it again! One of the guards whispers in fear. Liu Qingge huffs out a sigh and lowers his eyes from where he's watching the unguarded back of an oblivious demon. If they don't want to be attacked, maybe they shouldn't sleep with their blind spots exposed. How hasn't he killed us all? The other guard on night watch whispers, voice shaking. From across the circle of firelight, Ling Guangjun's voice snaps.
Stop talking,
he orders, light glinting off the frost on his furred robe.
He's a prisoner. He won't escape.
He's not wrong. Liu Qingge is currently luxuriating in avoiding his own wedding. Not a single twinge of discomfort has arisen in his body, so long as he's not moving by his own choice. He could stand to be kidnapped more often, if the outcomes were always like this. Liu Qingge stretches his arms over his head, leaning back against a boulder and propping Cheng Luan against his shoulder while the guards watch him in fear. He wishes one of them would give him a run for his money. Since the first one tried to push him and nearly got bloodied for his trouble, none of the small fry want to mess with them. Lin Guangjun's second-in-command hasn't even started anything with Liu Qingge, though the way that their nerves are all building, and the way that Lin Guangjun keeps snapping at them, he's guessing that they're getting closer and closer to their destination. Liu Qingge pretends to sleep for a while, until everything is still and the guards have stopped shooting him fearful looks.
Qianlong's bride is not to be underestimated,
Lin Guangjun says from the darkness on the other side of the fire, causing Liu Qingge to make a face like he's sucking on a lemon.
But we've prepared well. Just get through tonight.
Sir, the first guard says uncertainly. Liu Qingge raises his eyebrows in the shadows of the boulder. Just tonight,
Finally,
Lin Guangjun spits out as they cross through a thin barrier between the arid desert and an equally barren, yet noticeably colder plain.
Here, the marriage will be legal. Quickly, bring the prisoner here.
One of the guards says, looking askance at Liu Qingge, who fixes them with an unimpressed look. A guard behind Liu Qingge takes a hesitant step forward, and Liu Qingge sets an easy hand on Cheng Luan's pommel.
Well?
Says Lin Guangjun. Once the dust clears, and all the guards are revealed to be nursing bruised, broken, or concussed body parts, Lin Guangjun sends his second-in-command forward. This man is a little more of a challenge. Liu Qingge draws Cheng Luan to fight him, eyes lighting up with the thrill of battle. It's over too fast, of course. When the second-in-command is groaning in agony on the ground, Liu Qingge sheathes Cheng Luan with a sniff.
You...
Lin Guangjun barely manages to get out, incoherent with rage.
How dare you!
Liu Qingge brushes some dust off his marital robes. They're slightly torn at the collar, where he deflected the slash of a scythe, but otherwise in good shape.
Well,
he says coolly,
let's keep moving.
Deeper into the Northern Territory, the demons grow more powerful. Liu Qingge's fights get more and more interesting, even as they approach the northern stronghold. He still wins handily, but now he at least uses Cheng Luan most of the time. It's in the middle of his latest battle that a presence makes itself known at the end of the battlefield.
My beloved! A cry comes.
Liu Qingge groans inwardly, though he keeps his eyes steely as he disarms yet another warhammer. All the portals they've used apparently haven't been enough to outrun this. At least Tianliang Jun came alone. Liu Qingge handily defeats his lackluster opponents, but leaves one standing. He shoots a sour glance at Tianliang Jun,
then fixes the quaking guard with a glare.
Well,
he says, sheathing Cheng Luan,
go ahead, march me to wherever.
Hands shaking so hard they're almost a blur, the guard walks up behind Liu Tingge and gestures for him to walk in the direction that Ling Guangjun stands. The fur-clad demon is visibly fuming. Liu Tingge saunters off along the path past him, ignoring Tianlang Jun's interested look and Ling Guangjun's incandescent stare.
Here to fight for your bride?
Ling Guangjun spits at Tianlang Jun, furious. Liu Tingge watches him summon a sphere of ice out of the corner of his eye in interest. He's not seen him fight yet.
Oh, Tianlang Jun says, blinking. With barely any movement at all, he's suddenly standing next to one of the badly beaten guards, levering him to his feet with a single arm.
No, I'm being taken prisoner. He guides the guard's hand around his arm, then raises it in the air, still supporting the half-conscious demon to keep him on his feet.
Look!
Ling Guangjun looks at him blankly for a moment, then his face melts into a snarl of rage. Liu Qingge's frightened captor glances between Liu Qingge and Ling Guangjun, as if trying to figure out which rock to hide behind when blows break out. But faced with Tianlong Jun's serene smile, Ling Guangjun just throws his hands up and strides forward to kick at one of the guards pulling themselves off the ground.
On your feet, he snarls. If I can't marry that one, we can at least march them both in as prisoners.
Come here, dearest, Tianlong Jun says, wrapping his arm gently around Liu Qingge's shoulders. Liu Qingge relaxes into the grip, feeling the neutral feeling in his veins blossom into slow, comforting warmth. The latest development, after the past 2 weeks of travel and a number of fascinating duels between Tianlong Jun and the guards. And, occasionally, beasts big enough to knock over trees. Tianlong Jun has been using a technique to call over dangerous wildlife for Liu Qingge to fight, mostly just flaring his demonic energy and making a ruckus. But he occasionally takes a turn as well. Watching him has been a fascinating experience. Liu Qingge has been studying his techniques to steal them. Liu Qingge sighs, closing his eyes and leaning his head on Tianlong Jun's shoulder, as the groaning second-in-command gestures at one of the others to separate them.
I'm not doing it,
the guard with the black eye hisses, loudly enough to be heard from the other side of the camp.
I tried last night. My knees still won't hold my weight.
Beyond the edge of the camp, Ling Guangjun is talking quietly into a talisman, but not so quietly that it doesn't carry to Liu Qingge's excellent ears.
Have to stymie the truce between the demon and human realms, he murmurs into the talisman nasally.
With a frown, Liu Qingge turns to Tianlong Jun. His engagement charm hasn't been much of an issue now that their kidnappers can march Liu Qingge away from Tianlong Jun whenever he raises an eyebrow at them. But he knows that Tianlong Jun was invested in peace between the realms.
Will it be a problem?
He asks, gesturing in Ling Guangjun's direction with his chin.
Not at all,
Tianlong Jun says easily, squeezing Liu Qingge's shoulder. When I saw that it might be a little while, I gave my son permission to marry. Well, he had already done it long since, but I acknowledged him. Formally. His marriage should have already finalized the wards that would protect the crossing.
It'll just take a few weeks for everyone else to catch up. He nods at where Ling Guangjun is continuing to hiss into the talisman, and Liu Qingge frowns consideringly.
You have a son?
He asks. From my first marriage. Tian Lungjun sighs wistfully. She's off having fun making trouble now, though. Last I heard from her, she was planning a little bit of arson. Not sure where she ended up. It was amicable, though. I barely miss her at all.
Uh-huh,
Liu Qingge says awkwardly.
She was also human?
Oh, yes, Tian Lungjun says happily, moving his arm to rest around Liu Qingge's waist. I think that humans are so interesting. So much culture, and your arts and music, and your cute personalities. Always so passionate about things. Liu Qingge says doubtfully. Tian Lungjun continues to rattle on, and with a huff, he tunes him out and focuses on the warmth of his side, the slight fragrance of the demon lord's hair and robes. Under the fearful gazes of the guards, he drifts off to sleep on Tian Lungjun's shoulder.
What?
Ling Guangjun says blankly from the base of the massive ice stairs.
I said, the demon sitting on the fur-lined throne at the top intones, that your prisoners are not prisoners. They are our honoured guests.
What? How dare you?
Ling Guangjun snaps, pointing a long-nailed finger at the demon.
You think I won't kill you myself? Get off that throne, it should be mine.
There is peace between the realms, uncle,
the demon says, staring down at him with a cold look. How would a human killer such as yourself be allowed to rule? Our new lord has vouched for me. I hold the north now.
Oh, are we free to go then?
Tian Lungjun says curiously.
Absolutely not.
Ling Guangjun snarls, spinning to point at Tian Lungjun and Liu Qingge with the same shaking finger. Rage flushes his cheeks a pale blue.
Move from that spot, and I'll kill you myself.
Oh?
Tian Lungjun says, waving his hand. From the air, a gleaming red sword forms, the rank smell of iron emanating from it. It falls into his hand, and he lets its tip drag slowly across the ground under his feet, a grating sound emanating from the frozen blood where it meets the ice.
Will you?
With a shriek of rage, Ling Guangjun falls on him, but before he can get close enough to force Tian Lungjun to raise his sword, Liu Qingge has skewered him through the chest in a single brutal thrust of Cheng Luan's shining blade.
You...
Ling Guangjun chokes out through a mouthful of blood. Liu Qingge jerks Cheng Luan out, slicing it through the air to fling the blood off, and sheathes it disdainfully as Ling Guangjun falls to his knees.
You'd better heal yourself fast,
Tian Lungjun says, strolling over and kicking Ling Guangjun's convulsing figure. Your nephew looks like he wants to continue your conversation when you can stand again. Turning to the man on the throne, he smiles.
Mo Beijun, how is my son?
He rules well in your absence,
Mo Beijun says, rising from the throne to descend the stairs and bow. He's almost the same height as Tian Lungjun, another tall one. Liu Qingge looks him up and down consideringly. He looks like he could fight.
Shall I tell him you intend to return, Lord?
Does he like it?
Ruling,
Tian Lungjun says. Mo Beijun pauses, then inclines his head.
It suits him,
he says, as if after much thought.
Tian Langjun says contentedly. And his husband, is he happy?
So I hear, my lord,
Mobi Jun replies.
Very well,
Tian Langjun says with a pleased nod.
I abdicate. Give my love to the both of them.
My lord, Mobi Jun blurts out, icy expression slightly shocked. Tian Langjun nods at him, and then Liu Qingge's hand is being grabbed, the two of them sprinting from the northern palace into the ice fields together. When they reach the mountains outside the walled city, Tian Langjun is laughing, swinging Liu Qingge around by the arms until he spins him into an embrace. The elation of it forces Liu Qingge's lips into a smile, which melts from his lips as he leans up to meet Tian Langjun's descending lips in a kiss.
Let's travel,
Tian Langjun says when their lips finally part. I haven't seen the world since I began to rule it.
Are you well? The charm should be lifted, correct?
He bends down to kiss Liu Qingge once more. Liu Qingge winds his arms around his shoulders.
It should have dissipated when my son's wedding was formalized, a few weeks ago.
He draws back, grinning broadly, and the same warmth rises in Liu Qingge's chest as before at the expression on his face. A side effect of that curse, surely. He feels his eyes go soft in a smile. Can you bear to be parted from me now? Tian Langjun asks, teasing.
No,
Liu Qingge replies bluntly. And, with no more words, he pulls Tian Langjun back down into a kiss. The end. This was Can't Bear to Part by Asenor, read by Misty Yuriski. Thank you for listening.